As God moves in a house, we see up on our outline that the house gets dirty, and then God moves out. God will not stay in a dirty house. I heard some college boys, they wanted to bring the mascot into the dormitory with them, and it was a goat. And they said, "You can't bring that goat in here. What about the smell?" They said, "Well, the goat will get used to it. We did." Now, college boys might stay in a dirty house, but God will not stay in a dirty house. He's moved in and he's moved out. In these verses today, he's living in his permanent house. As you come to church today, you bring God with you today in your house. Now, all these houses that God has moved in and out of in human history, Adam was God's primary house. And then I want you to understand these four D's and get them right. Because every one of them, there's a pattern through all the houses. God moved in, moved out of Adam. God moved in, moved out of the temple. God moved in, moved out of Jesus Christ, as you will see, because Jesus Christ became sin for us. The last home, God's primary house, is to save the saints of the day. The Word of God says when he moves in us, he will never move out. Not forever and forever, God is with us. That's eternity security. You don't have to worry about God moving out. God moves into your house. Now for all the Old Testament time up to Jesus Christ came, died for our sins on Calvary's cross, raised from the grave, went back to be with the Father in heaven and sent the Holy Spirit of God to be with us. When that Comforter came at the day of Pentecost, they was all filled with the Spirit of God. They was all baptized with the Spirit of God. That was whenever God moved back into his permanent house and never leave again. You hear this hour and you're saved. I'm telling you, I have a permanent house of God that lives in you and he'll never move out. I will never leave you, no, not forsake you. I'll be with you forever and ever. God does not move out of the house we have today. All the Old Testament saints and all the time from Adam all the way up to Jesus Christ coming and also the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon mankind for a special task, for anointing, for a special task. The Holy Spirit of God did not move in mankind until the day of Pentecost. Because all these houses that God lived in, we find out they was designed. They had a special design for every one of these houses. But they was desecrated. Sin moved in. And then you know what? They was desolated. God moved out. And then that house was destroyed. Then God moved into another house. And the same three and same four things happened. God moved in another house. And the last house is you and I today, the saints, as I said, from the day of Pentecost. And how precious it is to understand these beautiful truths in the Word of God, that what you have today is a lot better than Adam had whenever he was created in the Garden of Eden. Why much greater it is today to know that the eternal God, through the Spirit of God, lives in you today if you're saved. So let's read these two verses of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity. Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, the hearts, Lord, and the ears that's listening today to your holy and precious word. Father, I just pray this day, if there's a heart that's never bowed, Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that person will come and bow thy knee to Jesus Christ, to understand they're dead without the Spirit of God living in them. Father, how I thank you, Lord, how you have promised us that you'll always be with us. Oh, Lord, what a great promise that is, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we just want to thank you for being your people. I know that we don't act like it many times, Father, even myself. But, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being the great God that you are. And, Father, for that eternal security in Christ Jesus. Lord, this body that we have today is, Lord, your temple, as you said it was. It has been bought with a price, and our bodies do not belong to ourselves anymore. they belong to you. We pray that we might yield our body to you this day. And how today, Father, is someone to come to be saved today, what a great day it would be. But not only that, Father, for lives to be changed in this day, Father, that someone might give him all the rooms of their heart because they all belong to him anyway. How we pray, Father, that decisions might be made today. That God, they say, well, that from now on, I want God to control my life. All the commitment that we need to make today. And Father, the encouragement that we need to make to others, oh God. To be always out looking for someone that we might be able to encourage and bring to a little closer fellowship of the knowledge of God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for moving upon this congregation as you already have. I thank you for the songs, Lord, that we can smile, oh God, and our heart, Lord, may jump for joy in knowing, oh God, that we're singing songs unto thee. Father, we thank you for the prayers that have been offered up this morning and for the Sunday school hour and for those who was there. Father, we want to thank you for the children in the children's church and the nursery and, Lord, for all the Lord that's took part of this service today. We want to thank each one, Lord, for making it possible, God, that we might have a day, Lord, that we might look up to you from which cometh our strength. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. We know that these verses describes us today. I hope you write these down, and I hope you have a pen that you might want to write down some scriptures that I begin to read, because for the sake of time, we can't turn all over the Bible that I have, but they're very, very important to you today, and I'm going to try to squeeze all of these in today. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people that you know in the tabernacle and also in the temple, that God had a temple for his people to come and meet with him. Now, the New Testament, I've already told you that God has a people for his temple in the New Testament time. Now, ours is the heart of God today. We are a royal residence for God in these bodies that God has allowed us to have. You are a royal resident if you have been saved today. If you understand today, if you accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are a royal residence for the kingdom of God in your heart this very hour. So I would like for us to look, first of all, at God's primary house, which was Adam. You'll all know about Adam. That was God's primary house. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That means that man had a body, man had a soul, and man had a spirit. Now, the body, it says, came from the dust of the ground. That was his body. Now, the spirit and the soul breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, had a living spirit and a living soul. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 tells us, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Man is made likened to God. It says in the Bible that, you know, let's make man in our image. Well, that image of God is a triune God. Triune God, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, man has also a triune self, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, the body, as we know, that relates to our physical. We're here today in this body, that's our physical nature, and it relates to the world beneath us, most as we understand it. But the soul, that's our emotional, and that's our will on the inside. That's our mind, and it relates to the world around us with fellowship with each other. But the Spirit of God, that is a God conscious, and that's the world above us. And without that, we would not have these other two functioning like they ought to function without the Spirit coming alive. So we have the soul, we have the Spirit, and they are very, very different. I used to think they were about the same. Well, you hard for you to separate these two. In fact, a doctor with a sharp scalpel cannot separate the soul and the spirit. But God's living word separates the soul and the spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thought and intents of the heart." The word of God separates the soul from the body. Now, that's very important for us to understand this. separate the soul from the body. Now, in other words, man is separated from an animal because we have a living spirit, a living spirit. Man's soul is kind of like his spirit, you know, that lives forever and ever. Now, we're going to live somewhere forever and ever. We know what's going to happen in these bodies, but that soul and that spirit's going to live forever and ever. Well, that spirit is how we know God and how we worship God this morning. If you're worshiping God this morning, you're saved now. Your spirit now is worshiping with God's spirit right here this day. That's the part of us that worship with God's spirit. John chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "But the hour come," remember what he said, "and now is." You see, don't talk about the Old Testament. The hour is going to come, and now is. "The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Those are saved. Right now, as Jesus crossed about, they're going to start worshiping him, not in the temple, as he's talking to the Samaritan woman, not in that temple, not in that mountain. Where shall we worship? It right now, Jesus Christ says, talking to her, right now, the true worshipers, or if you're a true worshiper today, you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is, the truth of God is in you now, in the spirit that bears witness with his spirit this day. Well, we know what will happen to Adam's house. Adam's house had three rooms, as we knew. Now, God likes three. Did y'all know that? God likes three because of the Trinity. God's number is three. Three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everything God makes is in this triune figure as he did mankind. Now, you take a minute for space. Space, there's height, and there's width, and there's depth. All three is different, but all three is necessary for space. You take something we can understand a little better. It is time. Now, time has three essence. You know why? We have the past, we have the present, and we have the future. All three of these are different, but all three are the same because you cannot have one without the other. God makes this. See, man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. And to function like we ought to function, the Spirit of God has to move back into us for us to be a triune person as God intended for us to be. Don't ever forget that. There's three times there and three different parts. Man, we have a soul, we have a body, and we have a spirit. One cannot function without other. Now, understand this beautiful truth now, and you'll come a long ways in focusing what Jesus Christ and Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross today. And understand what you have while you're sitting in this building here this day. Adam came off the assembly line. He was a royal resident of God. He was a royal residence of God. God, it says, you know, God walked with Adam. Have you ever visioned that in the Garden of Eden, that God walked with Adam? God did not walk with Adam hand in hand. There's a lot of time we vision this, that God came down, and here's old Adam, here's God, and they're walking together hand in hand in the cool of the day. God did not walk on the outside of Adam, as I'll show you in the scripture in just a few minutes, but God walked inside of Adam in the cool of the day. He walked inside of Adam in the cool of the day, the fellowship with him. Now, Adam was God's primary house. Adam was God's primary house, and God moved in, and also God moved out. Now, there's several houses that I've showed you here that God moved in and God moved out. Now, each one of these houses, Adam, the temple, and Jesus, and to save the day, every one of these, each one of these became more permanent than the one precedes it. Today, you're living in God's permanent house that he will never, ever move out. Now, these four words, there's a pattern that goes through all three of these houses. These four words, they go through all three of these houses till it gets down to the house today that you and I are living in. And all the message is built around these four D's that I have on the board before you, this message, the pattern now. These three D's, Adam's house, that we have the temple and Jesus Christ and then the permanent house of saints today. Well, to start with, you know, Adam's house was designed. God designed Adam's house, did he not? It had three rooms in it, as I've been telling you. It had the body, we had the soul, and had the spirit. God designed that for a special, special purpose. All right, from the body, the soul, and the spirit, it says there in Genesis, "Dust come out of dust, and dust you shall return." Dust, and he breathed into his nostrils a living breath of air, and he became a living soul. Well, Adam there was at a design house. But now what happened to Adam's design house that he had there? Now, it was God's primary house. But what happened? Did Adam sin? Adam sinned. God will not live in a dirty house. Adam sinned. So what happened when Adam sinned? Desecrated it. He desecrated when he sinned. Adam sinned, and he filled this house with dirt. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband and with her, and he did eat. When that happened, Adam sinned. He disobeyed God, transgressed the law of God, and sin moved in to Adam. When sin moved in, God has to move out, transgressed the law of God, desecrated that house that God had built, that first house, Adam, he desecrated. Well, what happens whenever sin moves in? Well, God's got to move out. Desolation happens and comes whenever sin comes in. God has to move out. Well, did God move out? God moved out. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, and dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now, what happened to Adam at that time? It was Adam minus God. If you want to find anybody that's lost today, you know what's wrong with them? They're minus God in their life. Adam was minus God. The spirit was dead from that time that he sinned. Well, how much sin does it take? Just one half of sin, well, all it would take. The body and the soul. Now, the body and the soul are still living, but the spirit is dead. He's still alive. Adam has a house, but the house is desolated. God has moved out. God has moved out. He's not there, minus God now. What's happened to Adam? Now, instead of Adam being God-centered, Adam is self-centered, as lost people are today. We wonder why they do and why they act like they do. They're self-centered. They don't know God. They're not God-centered. They can't be God-centered. God do not live in a person that's lost. There's sin in that house, and have not been forgiven, and God will not move in that house. So we have Adam, what happened? Minus God. He's self-centered. Now, all his soul now relates to the world around him. It don't relate to God anymore. He relates to the world around him. It relates to the world beneath him. He's lost. That's what happened to Adam. Now we find that that house is destroyed. That house is destroyed. Genesis 19, it says, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Did Adam die? Did he be buried in the dirt? Yes, Adam was buried in the dirt. Now all this will come together for what Christ Jesus has done for you. I hope you listen to this and understand. Now the thing about it is, a question I'd like to ask you today now, how did Adam die? How did Adam die? Now, Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17 tells us, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. That's God's word. Thou shalt surely die in that day thou eat thou of. But now we know that Adam's spirit died that day. Listen, Adam's spirit died immediately when sin came in. Remember this, because it's going to be reversed on the child of God. Adam's spirit died immediately, time he sinned. His soul died progressively as it went on. Ultimately, his body died 930 years later. So you understand this is reverse of what happens to a child of God, in case I don't get to it. You see, today, when you're saved, you're saved immediately in the Spirit. That means you are justified immediately in the Spirit. You are sanctified progressively in the soul. And you're ultimately glorified in the body. Right opposite of what happened to Adam. Adam died immediately, it said, in the Spirit. He died progressively in the soul, 900-something years later in the body, he finally died. You are right reversed. What man to be lost is like, it's minus God. Same thing happened to Adam. One half of sin. God will not live in a dirty house. Adam became ungodly. Adam died immediately in the spirit. When the Lord went out, life went out, and the lights went out with Adam. He died immediately in the spirit. The reason that he died progressively in his soul, well, the spirit of man is what is instinct to an animal. The reason he died progressively in his soul, is reversed for you and I today. He died immediately, progressively in the soul. Well, what if bees or animals did not have instinct? What instinct is to an animal is what the Spirit of God that lives in us is us today, with us today. For instance, what if bees did not have the instinct to go all over the place and collect that nectar, and they come all the way back to the hive? There might be 25, 50, or 100 hives, and that bee knows exactly wherever he goes, mile or two, whatever, he knows exactly what hive to come back to. Same thing as an animal. When the birds fly south, when the bird flies north, the migration of the wildebeest, all the animals, they begin to travel. They're all over top, a lot of type of animals that does that. How they do that? They do that by instinct. Now, if you remove the instinct from that animal, you can imagine what happened to that migration. There would be chaos in the animal world. There would be chaos in the insect world. All right, you remove the Spirit of God from human beings, and we call it civilization, and we wonder why that our country and our world in a mess like it is, it's minus God. The Spirit of God has been removed from mankind. Mankind is lost. They don't have it because they're just like an animal without instinct. And we wonder, we see what's happening here in our world today. You know what's wrong with our country? The Spirit of God is not living in people today except the ones that saved and very few of them. Why? What's happening in Washington, D.C. today and the reason they're making the decision they're making today, it's like an animal without the instinct. They're lost without God. They cannot figure out what's happening in this world today that we're living in. And I tell you, the same thing is in a person today without God. No instinct. And we call it civilization. That's results of what it is whenever God moves out. God has moved out of our country today. We want to know what's the problem, what's going to solve it. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to solve it. God has moved out of our country. We have kicked him out of our country. And we want to know what's wrong with our country and trying to send more people to Washington to figure out what it is. I'm going to tell you what, it starts in the lives of you and I today. It starts in our homes today. What's wrong with the church today? What's wrong with mothers and fathers that won't raise their children in the house of God if they claim they're saved? And we wonder what's going on in our country. They're minus God. There's a lot of people claim to know Jesus Christ. What's wrong with them? They're minus God. They don't care about the things of God. They're minus God. And I'm going to tell you, God won't live in a dirty house. Sin has reduced man down to just operating on just his soul and not the spirit. The spirit transmission is jammed, and they don't know. Adam became the household slave to his own body, as people that's lost today. Ultimately, he died in his body. We know that for sure. Genesis 5:5 tells us, and all the days of Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Ultimately, he died in his body. Remember now, glorified, you're going to be glorified in your body. Ultimately. But Adam died here in his body after that many years. I know we have just celebrated Christmas, and a lot of you probably had some what we call live Christmas trees in your house. Had a live Christmas tree in your house. But I want to tell you, you decorated that tree, made that tree real pretty. But about New Year's time, you begin to see them leaves kind of fade away. When was that tree dead? When you bought it and put it in your house, no, sir. That tree was dead when it was severed from the roots of that tree. It looks alive, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people that claim to be Christian today, they decorate themselves up, and a lot of them come to church, and a lot of them don't come to church and call themselves Christians, but I'm going to tell you what, they're dead. That's not me, that's the Word of God. They're dead, they're dead, they're dead. And yet they decorate themselves up and try to be religious. And they try to be religious, and they're dead. They're dead. We find out they have no life. As I get into this second, as I hurry along here, I'll get into this second house. This second house now that God moved in was a pattern house called the temple or the tabernacle. Y'all remember the temple and the tabernacle. Now, you see, just like a man, it also had three rooms. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, the temple and tabernacle had three rooms. It had the outer court. Y'all remember the outer court, place of sacrifice. That was visional. All right, had the inner court. That was a holy place where the priests go and do the service for the Lord. That was like the soul. And then, you know, the innermost court, the holy of holy, and only high priest go in there once a year, and that was with the blood. Now, this is objection of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us today, the pattern of the human body. Now, outer court, we know, like the body, where we sacrifice in our body. And that's where they've done the sacrifice in outer court. The inner court, that's our soul. That we have fellowship with one another. When they gathered up together and they had that sacrifice and that fellowship with each other. The innermost court is the spirit, and that relates only to God. But you see, this tabernacle, this pattern house, also go through these same four D's. Is what happened. God moved in the tabernacle. God moved in the temple, you know, in the Bible. But God also moved out. Why did he move out? The same reason he moved out of Adam's house. And we'll find out that. What happened? Well, we know that this house was designed. He told Moses exactly how to make it, inch for inch, foot by foot. Everything had to be. It was a design house. We know exactly what it is as you read the Word of God, how he told Moses to make this tabernacle and also the temple. Well, it was good. God moved in. It showed in the Bible where God moved into this. But now it was desecrated. Now, Jesus tells us how that this temple was desecrated all these many years. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13, it says, Jesus talking, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Desecrated this house by their lies and by what they was doing. It was desecrated, as you see this. But not only that, it was desolated that God had no part with it. When was it desolated? Matthew 23 and verse 38, what it said. Jesus speaking again, it says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, it says in that previous verse I read, my house is called a house of prayer. But he quit calling it my house. And in that verse of chapter 23, verse 38 that I read, it says, now your house, what's happened? He says, left desolate. God has moved out. God don't dwell in the temple no more. It had been less desolate in that place. Your house, not my house. And then we know the whole history of it. It was destroyed. When was it destroyed? Again, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This temple will be destroyed. Was it destroyed? Yes, exactly what Jesus Christ said it would be. Now listen what happened. It was designed like God said it was. God moved into this house. It was desecrated because of sin, what they made it in that house. And then you know what? Desolated that God moved out. And what happened? This house was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Well, as we move on kind of hurriedly here, I need about an hour and a half, but I'll take a few more minutes if you'll let me. Now, the third house now is God's perfect house, Jesus Christ. Now, that is God's perfect house. You say, well, these three D's don't seem to fit here. Well, listen to what it says in this. Now, this is God's perfect house, Jesus Christ, never knew no sin, the perfect Son of God. But you see, even that, God designed him a house. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, as a baby, grew up there, and you know what? As a man, a real man, that was a design house that God had. You know that Jesus Christ was a real person. That was a design house, as we know it was. Jesus done this, had this done, see? He was a design house. But then, not only that, we find that he was a design house, and what does it say? In John chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple built, and thou wilt raise it up in 3 days. Jesus was not talking about now that second house. He was talking about this third house, his body himself, the temple. He says, I'll raise it up in 3 days. It was designed. It was designed. As we see this, it was designed. It was a perfect house. It was a design house. Jesus had a perfect body, which if you convinces me of sin, hey, this man had no sin. But you see, second of all, it was desecrated. You mean tell me Jesus Christ and his body was desecrated, this perfect house? Listen to what the scripture says today as we ought to weep for what we've done to Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, what it says, and all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on who? That perfect house have laid on who? Him, the iniquity, what? The iniquity of us all, the house become desecrated. Desecrated as we think about this. What a tragedy, what a tragedy, what a tragedy to think about this. 1 Peter 2 and 24 also says, who his own body self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Our sins God laid on him. Jesus took your sins, took my sins. That perfect house, Jesus Christ, it was designed. But you see, it was desecrated from your sins and my sins. He never knew no sin, could not have sinned, but your sins and my sins in the sins of the world. Through that, God laid it on him, and that body become desecrated. And then it says, you know what? And then did God move out? Listen to what it says, desolation in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Desolated. God could not look on sin. Jesus Christ became sin for you. And God had to turn his back on him. David in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He didn't have to worry. David didn't about going through that valley alone. He said, because thou art be with me. But Jesus Christ had to walk that dark valley alone. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Desolated. And then that house was destroyed. That house, that beautiful house was destroyed. That perfect house. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Who destroyed Jesus Christ? Did the Jews? No, God the Father destroyed Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know what happened that God says when he destroyed him? God treated Jesus like he would have treated me and you. Destroyed. Romans 8 and 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Yes, he was destroyed there when God turned his back on him for those hours, but yet Jesus Christ knew no sin, rose from the grave. Perfect resurrection. And he gave back to us what lost in Adam and was lost in all three of these other houses. You see, God now moved into his permanent house to never move again. God stopped moving. In 1 Corinthians, I read to start with, what? Know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isn't that great? 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, you begin to walk with God, just like when God walked in Adam. When you're saved, God begins to walk in you and dwell in you as a child of God, this permanent house. He'll never, never move out. John 14 and 16 says, and I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you. How long? It says forever. He'll never move out again, forever. The lesson on salvation is not getting man to heaven. Well, you want to go to heaven, are you saved? You know, if you die, would you go to heaven? That's not what it's all about. It's getting heaven into man. It's getting heaven into man. As I told you, a lot of people on Wednesday night, I believe what I told you, no one's saved by the plan of salvation. That ought to make your eyebrows stand up. No one's saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. There's a lot of people that's lost can quote that road of salvation, the Romans road. They can quote that too. They can answer all these questions that's in their head. They're not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. And some people has never met that man. They'll answer all the right questions. Are you saved? Yes. Have you asked God to forgive you? Yes. Have you invited God in your heart? Yes. But yet nothing changes them. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, if nothing changes you, you better change religion. Because there's something bad wrong with you. Because if the living God don't live with you and don't draw you to the people of God and the things of God, there's something very, very wrong. And I'm going to tell you what it is. You don't have any life. A person do not have any life. They like a Christmas tree that's been cut. Call it a live tree. It's not a live tree. It's a dead tree. It just looks alive. But it is a dead tree. Listen to salvation. Well, God moved back in the house. Primary house, we know it was old Adam. Now, Adam died immediately in the spirit. Y'all remember that. Time he sinned, he died immediately. Now, to save, we're justified. Time you get saved, you're justified immediately in the spirit. Don't forget this. Adam died progressively in the soul. He died progressively in the soul. It took him a long time to die in the soul. But you see, you are sanctified. You are sanctified progressively in the soul. And then you see, ultimately he died in the body. 930 years later, ultimately he died in the body. Now, if you're saved, you're going to be glorified ultimately in the body. Ultimately, you're going to be glorified in the body. This is security. Don't never move out. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, then also he called, and whom he called, he also justified, and who he justified, he also glorified. That's all of it right there in that verse of scripture in a nutshell. You need me to write it down. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of the very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It'll never move out. Now you ought to be thanking God today. If you're not saved, you are. Thank God that you got a chance today to be saved. And I'll tell you what, if you're saved today, you are. Let it be known. Because there's a lot of people today that's lost. And they are walking around, Christmas trees. They don't care about the things of God, and they don't care about the Word of God, and they don't care about the people of God. I'm going to tell you what, they are double dog dead. They are double dog dead. It's just waiting for their time. It's just waiting for their time. And I want to tell you, mothers and fathers and grandparents, the reason I said it's so important. It's so important for your children to be at the house of God on Wednesdays. I can't imagine a saved person not wanting their kids at the house of God. Because when that child reached the age of accountability, that child is not saved. Ultimately, that child is dead. As I said, progressively, Adam died progressively. It took him a while, a long time, progressively. In the soul. Well, that child, time that child is saved, time that child is born and grows up at the age of accountability, what is that age? Nobody knows a certain what it is. That child knows they're rebelling against God. They know that they're a sinner. That child right then progressively starts walking away from God. He might walk 10 years, might walk 20 years. Progressively, that child is dead already. Progressively, just like Adam. Just like Adam, progressively died in the soul. I can't imagine a person that knows Jesus Christ and their child coming in that house. And yet, you know, they turned their back and put their fist in God's face and said, I won't. I can't imagine it, what they're doing to their children. I'm going to tell you what you say. Well, my child has been saved for a long year. Don't go to church. You don't have to be to go to church. I'm going to tell you what, church won't save nobody, but it's the evidence that you have been saved. That's hard, preacher. I want you to understand it. I want you to understand what it says. The verses I read to start with. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own. You see, you don't make decisions. They're already made for you. You just obey or you disobey. For ye it is bought with a price. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which is of God. God's permanent house. God's permanent house is today. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be you content with such things you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Where did God live? Where did God live at today? I know there may be people here that smoke cigarettes. I don't know. Would you think about lighting up a cigarette in this building? No, don't raise your hand. Most people wouldn't, would they? It would be better for a person to light up a cigarette here in this building than to go outside and light one up, because what you're doing, you're defiling the temple of God. This is not the temple of God. This is a building that we come and worship in. Would someone dare to walk in this church and drink a can of beer? Have him a little sip of wine? Smoke him some whackabacker here in this church? Would you dare do that? No, you wouldn't want to do that, would you? But I want to tell you, a child of God would go outside when nobody knows it in the darkness of their own homes. It would be better if they'd done it here than take it to the temple of the Most High God. Because this is a temple of God, this building's not. We just honor it as a temple of God. Where did God live? Man, you tell me it's all right for a Christian to take a social drink. You tell me it's all right for them to do that. I'm going to tell you what, we do a lot of things to this old temple that we ought not to do. That ought to be an amen right there. And that ain't for me, that's for every one of us in here. Oh, well, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't do this and all that. But there's some other things you do that you ought not to do for these old bodies. This is the temple of the Most High of God right here. It's permanent, it will never move in. And oh, let me, my body be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. We come with a song of invitation today. It would be great today if somebody would realize exactly, are they really alive today? Are you been going through this emotions? Are you really alive? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you ever asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and to save you, realize knowing that you're a lost sinner and you need to be saved, I'll tell you, you need to come today. You've put it off long enough. They might be some church members, I don't know. There may be some things that you hadn't given God you need to give, but you need to write this message down and you need to remember this message, because it's very, very vital to you and all your loved ones and your family members. There's a lot of people, I'm going to tell you, says, Lord, Lord, and God says, going to depart from me. I never knew you. You go work of iniquity. Lord, Lord, in that last day, yes, well, I'm a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Yes, but where are you at today and what you doing for the Lord? They ain't doing nothing for God. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them. They're dead. They're just a Christmas tree that's been decorated with ornaments. That's all they are. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us stand as we sing.